Welcome to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
So I'm Greg Williams here live in the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas, and welcome to my home. Looks like this evening the sun has already gone down, but it's been a clear, beautiful day. It rained just a little bit earlier this afternoon, but not enough to hardly wet the sidewalks. It rained because I washed my car this morning. That's the reason. It always does that. But it's a beautiful evening here in Houston, and we're about in the mid-60s, so just welcome, and I hope you have some hot chocolate or a nice cup of coffee. I have some Diet Coke in a coffee mug. And we're just going to sit back tonight and talk about several different things. We're going to kind of finish up last week with life's most important lessons. Got a lot of great emails on that and texts from y'all. So I appreciate that. And we're just going to share a little bit more wisdom in that area. If you want to call in and be part of any of these three segments, I would love for you to do that. And that would be 888-627-6008. And I'm watching on, fantastic. I'm watching on Facebook right now. Curtis is live in Seattle on the Breaking the Silence Facebook page. Feel free to hop on there and comment or watch it live there. But hopefully you're hearing us somewhere in your car or on the computer or on your phone and in your home or whatever. And just welcome to the program this evening. And we are actually going into what we call Thanksgiving week. So we're going to do a segment, this first segment, and that is just going to be the next probably 10 minutes and finishing up on life's most important lessons. This, the middle segment at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be kind of hitting on the holidays. And I'm just going to throw you out about 10, 15 minutes of tips of how to get through holidays. Tell you what, folks, a lot of people think holidays are the most wonderful time of the year. For people that have been hurt, traumatized, abused, gone through a loss, gone through some kind of personal pain, holidays are tough. And I have to be honest with you, Thanksgiving and Christmas are not my favorite times of the year. If it wasn't for being around the church folks, I probably would really, it would be down days for me. But today was awesome at church, and we just had a great service. But we're going to talk about that at the bottom of the hour. And in the last segment, if we have time, we're going to show you, we're going to have a kind of a quick Bible study lesson. And so you may want to grab your Bible and go, what in the world? We're doing a Bible study lesson tonight? Well, I'm going to show you how the Bible, as just some of you, whether you want to believe it or not, let's just call it for you skeptics, a history book. We're going to show you how we're going to just take a couple little sentences out of this history book and turn it into life lessons on how to get through some of your worst storms in your life. And I think that's all going to put all three of these segments together in a nice, tight little package for you tonight. Appreciate you being with us tonight. 888 627 6008, and I'm looking on here, and we are live. I'm already getting texts, so that's wonderful. So it looks like we're communicating well. So take a drink, wet your whistle, and let's get started. I'll tell you what, last week we talked about all kinds of things with life's lessons. The greatest things, and I would welcome people calling in right now in this first segment of saying, hey, I have a lesson that I learned and I never have forgotten. And it was one of the best things I ever learned. And wherever you learned it, doesn't matter. You don't have to speak long. Just throw it out there. And I'd love to be able to write that down and add that to my list. I think first thing, as we enter into the Thanksgiving season, I want to throw out a lesson that I don't think we talked about last week, but I don't want you to ever miss an opportunity to tell somebody how important they are to you. I think some of life's greatest regrets have been those lost opportunities. And I want to be honest with you. I know I say that a lot. I talked about that this morning. If you're going to send flowers to somebody that you love and care for the love of Pistol Pete, do it now. Do it now. Don't wait until it's too late and it's going to be draped over their grave. Let them know you love them, you care about them, how important they are to you, how much you love them, what kind of impact. And I believe we talked about this last week, but hey, I'm getting old and forgetful. I really wish that I had time to sit down with those people that have gone on before and that I wasn't so selfish of saying, hey, what can you do for me, Aunt Dorothy? What can, you know, how can you help me, Uncle Ray? The two people that were such impacts in my life, positive impacts, but just to sit down with them and listen to them. What have you learned? What have you experienced in your life? What would you want to tell me of something that I should never forget? What's some of the things that you did when you were my age? And just pull out all that information of the wisdom of our senior saints that we take for granted. So when you're sitting around the table this year at Thanksgiving, don't just say, hey, pass the potatoes, they hand me the turkey. Talk about them. Tell us some of your greatest Thanksgivings when you were a kid. What's some of the times that you had that you found the most fun when you were in your part of the country or of the world? And what was your funnest Thanksgiving? And start talking and sharing that way. But let's be honest. Why talk politics? Why talk economics? No reason to talk about the stock market. No reason to talk about all the political strife and everything that's on the news right now. Talk about each other. Take time to go around the table and say, hey, what's some of your greatest times in life? And then sit back and listen. And I think that would be a wonderful way to spend a Thanksgiving day with your family. Here's another life lesson, and I think you want to write this down. Never let the name brand on your shoe be more important than the one who's than the one who's guiding your footsteps. Never let the brand name on your shoes be more important than the one that's guiding your footsteps. We go out, we get online. I have a Nike app, and we'll do that when they have a new shoe out. I will wake up early in the morning or stay up late at night or whatever and hit that refresh, trying to get that new style of shoe. And it's like, really? Is it that important? And then I will overlook the very person, the very one that I need to be trying to focus my life on how to follow after. And I think that's a great word of wisdom. Another one. We got several minutes here before we take our first break. Reach in and lean towards forgiving other people, no matter what they've done to you. And I want to preface all of this before I get to the last part of the statement. No matter what they've done, no matter how bad it hurt, no matter how cruel it was, no matter how many times it happened, and some of you have vast stories that you could call in and spend the rest of the show tonight talking about. Well, no, Greg, you don't understand. They did this to me. I felt so small. I felt so violated. I was so humiliated. I know I've been there, done that. I know that. But I always want, because it's a life lesson that I've learned, that I think we need to lean in to forgive others. And I want to finish the statement now. Not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve the peace. Lean in to forgiving other people. I promise you, there is going to be thousands and millions of people that will not show up around a family table this year because they're mad for what happened last year. Or even worse, they're mad for something that was said 20 years ago that was taken out of context that caused that division, and they'll never be back around that family table again. Really? Folks, life's too short for that. So I always want you to forgive others. Try it, but not because they deserve it, but because I promise you, you deserve the peace. It will eat you alive. It's like a boil inside, and it starts eating away like a cancer. And it eventually disrupts your joy, disrupts your mentality and your attitude. And just when you think you've got them where you want them, it's causing you stress and anxiety. So no matter what it is, use this week to get over that. Try to get over that. Attempt to get over that. Because I want to let you know another life lesson. The greatest weapon against stress. Y'all ready for this? The greatest weapon to fight stress, against stress, is this. You ready? Lean in. The ability to be able to choose one thought over the other. He said, wait, that doesn't make sense. Oh, yeah. It does. How do you control stress in your life? It's when you can decide, I choose not to go down that path today. When I wake up out of that recliner in the morning, I have to choose. Am I going to dwell on something that hurt me this week? Am I going to dwell on something that hurt me 50 years ago? Or I'm going to look at this day, look out these windows onto the beautiful sky and be able to say, no, today's a new day. I choose to make this choice. Some of you will go to jobs tomorrow that you absolutely hate, but it's because you're focusing on the negatives of it, hating it. And I've been there, done that. So I know sometimes when that negative thought comes in your mind about a job, you can't get it out of your mind. But to be able, the ability to be able to overcome that stress in your life is that strength of being able to choose to one thought over another thought, choosing positivity over that negative junk. And I honestly believe that if there's somebody that just gets under your skin, and I deal with this all the time. They come in, they dance on that nerve, just like, oh my Lance, please. Another life lesson. Start praying for them. You can't pray for somebody else and dislike them at the same time. And start praying for them. Lord, help them, whatever they need. Be with them. Give them a great day. And believe it or not, things start turning around. So that's just a couple things that they can possibly help your day in the morning. another, I should have started off with this one, another great lesson, probably one of the greatest lessons that I've ever known, is that I have a lot still to learn. I don't have all the lessons yet. I'm still learning as I go. And when I get in the mode of where I think I know it all, then something will cut me off at the knees and force me to understand, wow, I knew nothing about that. And so the greatest life lesson sometimes is understanding I still have a lot to learn. I still have a lot of lessons to be able to put under my belt, to be able to write down and use and apply, and to be able to use in my own life with people that I have friendships and relationships with, my own life with people at the church, my own life with people at the office, my own life with my kids. And I think that's great. How do you know who your real friends are? We may have mentioned this last week, but it's on my list here. Fake friends believe in the rumors. Real friends will believe in you. And I think that is so, so important in life. The fake friends will believe in the rumors. The real friends will give you the benefit of the doubt and believe in you. Let's see what else I got. If I could show you this, but it just, all this paper just has chicken scratches of where I was going through my journals and writing down some things that I learned that week or whatever. How about, do any of you have a short fuse? You get angry, it's easy to push you over the edge and you just absolutely blow. Oh, I know that sometimes. Never reply to anyone when you're angry. Never make a promise to anyone when you're in the most happy mood ever. And never make a decision when you're sad or depressed. I want to repeat that. Three life lessons in one there. But it talks about nevers. And I think these are good. Never reply to anyone when you're angry. I think, what is that? That's a Bible verse. Slow to anger. What is that? Slow to anger. Slow to speech. I have to look that one up maybe on the break, but never reply when you're angry. Never make a promise when you're really happy, because you may overpromise something. You're working on, and you can see the process here, you're working on emotions, and you never want to trust your emotions. You want to trust your foundational truth, your foundational values, your foundational principles. Emotions can be manipulated. And people around you knows that, and they know how they can do that, and they can just put that ring in your nose and drag you wherever they want you through your emotions, and then never make a decision when you're sad. Let's see. I may have one more before we take our break, and then we're going to go into a different segment. Let me see. I got one more surely here. The two most important days of your life are these. The first day is the day that you were born. And the second most important day of your life is the day that you find out why. And if you can find out those 2 days, those are the two most important days of your life. And God has a purpose for you. God has a reason for you, and God has the answer to the why you were born for you too. We're going to take our first break, 888-627-6008. On the other side of this break, pull out your pads if you haven't yet, your notebooks or whatever. We're just talking about a few things of how to get through the holidays. And believe it or not, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Just look at Walmart. I was there yesterday. It's getting crazy. and Black Friday is right around the corner. We're going to talk about that just on the other side of our first commercial break. Don't leave us. Be right back. Finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the three-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the BBS Radio Network. Welcome back. I'm trying to get my notes for the next segment up. Welcome back. 888-627-6008. Thank you for the ones that are, that is nice, that are texting and letting us know they're listening in tonight, all around everywhere. So that's awesome. Great to hear your voice and appreciate it. Tonight, we talked a little bit about life's lessons, kind of finishing up last week, and I hope you learned something. I learned something every time I pull these out and go through and hear somebody that says something and write that down and try to apply it to my life. But, you know, as we go into now holidays, for many people, the most wonderful time of the year isn't the most wonderful time of the year. It's the most wonderful time. Sometimes Andy Williams is wrong. It's not the most wonderful time of the year. And I want to let you know, if somebody has gone through loss this year, if COVID has taken family members from you, there's been more COVID deaths in 2021 than there ever was in 2020. We're not out of the woods yet. It's still affecting people. It's still making impacts. Talked a little bit about this morning at church, but, you know, sometimes when you look around that, I didn't have an opportunity to turn the TV off. I forgot to, but the TV on the big screen right here on the other side of my computer, and you may be able to see it in the reflection of the glass back here. I'm not for sure. Christmas Vacation's playing, and they're going around, you know, Chevy Chase and all that, and they're passing the food around the dinner table, the big family dinner time. And sometimes in the serious mode of that, when there's that one empty chair, it causes some pain. And I want to show you a couple things that may be able to help you with tips on how to get through this. First of all, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're experiencing in your life right now and you're going to be experiencing this week, please know that you're not alone. You're not alone in that pain. A lot of times we play that game with ourselves. Who does that? Me. I do that. I'll sit here on holidays and think, nobody cares. I'm by myself. But that's not true. I know there's people that care. I'm not really alone. And back to the life's lessons, is I need to remember to choose the positive thought over that negative thought. So you're not alone. And when you deal with the sadness and depression, during the holidays. It can include what we just talked about, loneliness. Research reveals right now in America that 43% of Americans are single, and over 25% of Americans live alone. When everyone else are celebrating with their own families, it's sometimes painful when you're alone. This place gets really small, and it gets really small during the holidays. And I know it may do that for you too. It doesn't have to. We're going to talk about how to get past that. Grief, experiencing the loss of a loved one at any age is tough. But grief is such a difficult emotion to deal with, and especially during the holiday season. Especially, it adds fuel to that emotional trauma and anxiety and stress and depression and loneliness and thoughts and darkness and all that stuff that comes flooding in. You need to protect yourself of that. And we're talking about here in this segment how to get through that. Then there's a thing called SAD, S-A-D, Seasonal Affective Disorder. And it seriously impacts thousands of people each year. When they get around this time of the year, they experience the blues. And it's not just the blues like you're down. It's the blues like it's the most traumatic time and stressful and depressive time of the entire year. Whether it was a good year or not, it's just what, and it's called SAD, Seasonal Affective Disorder. And just beware that this is a real disorder, and it can hit you lightly, or it can hit you really, really hard. Finances. Sometimes finances, and I think this time of the year lets people understand where they are in that financial realm, good or bad. Christmas time automatically puts everybody into financial crunch, no matter how much money you have, because there's a lot more going out. There's a lot more swiping going on your credit card than normal. There's a lot more of these promises of the best price of the year and the greatest toy that you have to get your kids. And if you really love them, you'll buy it. And all of these, and it's not a toy that was like when I was a kid, a Slinky. Now it's a toy like PX, and I don't even know what these things are called. All these expensive PlayStations and things that runs hundreds and hundreds of dollars. It can really put people in financial gloominess, in a financial bind. And when you can't afford to celebrate or get someone what you feel obligated to buy, sometimes can be overwhelming and devastating. So I want you to be aware that that may be coming around the corner. Protect yourself from that. And then estrangement, when you're not speaking to a relative, you're not speaking to a family member, and the family gathering together doesn't usher in awesome, happy, old butterflies in my stomach feelings. It ushers in inner conflict, resentment, guilt, and bitterness. So how do you get through that? Here's a couple tips for you. Okay, let me get a drink. A couple tips. Start planning in advance. Not having plans invites anxiousness to the event. Not having any plan at all automatically gives you the anxiousness of uncertainty. And it causes the anxiety to already start building up because you have no idea what's going to happen. And it's unnecessary, and it fuels your stress tank more than what it ever needs to be. So try to know how, with whom, and when you're going to spend the holidays with. How, who, and when. Try to plan ahead. Oh, I don't have plans. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, congratulations. That's going to get your mental anxiety automatically wrapped up higher than what it ought to be. Try to get all your shopping done early, especially this year, with the promise of the shelves being empty by Christmas. I haven't noticed that yet in Houston. Been down the toy aisle a couple times. Some of the stores, it looks like they're pretty jam-packed right now, but people are telling me that the shortages are coming. So you need to go ahead and start planning those purchases early. And having things under control gives you more control of your emotions. And in that, it gives you more peace. Also, try to make the best time of all of your time. So in each minute that you have during the day this week, try to plan according to allow your mind to be able to rejuvenate during the pressure of trying to get everything done. And in that time, it also gives you more energy in that time of, hey, you have a few minutes, take time for yourself. You have a half hour or a half a day, take time for yourself. And try to keep your mental awareness, your mental mindfulness, and taking care of yourself to the optimal. Try to ask help from your family and your friends. There's nothing wrong with the older that we get to be able to help have the kids help with the meal. The kids, hey, and they're in their 20s, they're in their 30s. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, Sally, this year you get to make the dressing. You get to make the desserts. John or whatever, your family's in charge of that. Don't always think that mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, like all the traditions have been in the past, has to take care of everything. Pass out and delegate some of those jobs. And don't feel guilty for that. It's a time to allow them to start learning new traditions in their life. And I think, and honestly, that team effort can be much more fun, can be much more of a release of the burden off one or two people than normally of the people that are in charge. So delegate some of that stuff. And don't you dare allow them all to just eat and leave. They can actually stay around and have fun, help them wash the dishes and help put everything back to where it was. So it's not just a mess. And I can hear some people right now saying, oh, no, not in my house. I'm taking care of everything. Well, that could be why every year you're stressed out to the max. Don't let them do that. Try to come up with something different this year. Try something warm. Research has shown that warmth can greatly improve your mood. If you're getting stressed, there's nothing wrong with spending the next 2 hours taking a nice hot bath with a nice hot cup of tea or hot chocolate. But that warmth, just the fact of something warm, researchers are finding out, can automatically decrease your anxiety level and your stress level. Try alone time. Time alone just for you. If you need time alone to grieve, time alone just to think, time alone just to feel, let yourself do that. I remember vividly the first Thanksgiving after my brother had died, and my brother got hit by a car at 36 years old and out in front of our house. And the car was going full speed and it pretty well killed him immediately. And I remember that first Thanksgiving after, nobody wanted to get together. Nobody wanted to, but mom insisted. Nope, this is what we do. Still fresh. The wounds were not even close to being healed, but we all got there. And I remember her bringing that Thanksgiving turkey to the table looking at it, picking it up, throwing it in the trash can, and went to the refrigerator and got bologna and threw it on the table. And then she went to be alone. It was her time to grieve. It just wasn't the right time for anything. We were all in the same environment together. We're all in that same mode of not wanting to be there, but knowing that we needed to be there for each other. And that was her way of actually acting out in grief, of going to that trash can and throwing that perfectly good-looking turkey away and say, here, this is what I feel like, and threw bologna on the table. And we ate bologna sandwiches that year. And there was nothing wrong with that. But it was a time for her to be able to express and then end up being alone. And there was nothing wrong with expressing, I am in pain. Still, I'm not going to pretend it's all okay. And we made it through it. Not the most wonderful Thanksgiving of our lives, but we understood where everybody was coming from, because everybody grieves different. Everybody handles stress and anxiety and trauma differently. And for me to force my way on coping on other people, that you need to do that, mom, and cope with it the same way I do, or you need to do it to my other brother, cope with it the same way that I do. No, no, you can't do that. Everybody has to cope with it in their same way. Another one, try not to isolate yourself. Make a conscious effort to reach out to others that are also could be experiencing loneliness. So if you're going to be alone this Thanksgiving, what's wrong with making a phone call, texting, reaching out, driving by, maybe calling them and say, hey, you want to go to Denny's together? I know you're alone this year. I'm alone. Why not? You want to? Don't isolate yourself. Don't be that own person on your own island thinking you can take care of life yourself. If you don't have somebody to be with, volunteer to help somebody that needs your help. Go down to the shelters and help serve Thanksgiving meals, whatever it is. I promise you that this could be an awesome, uplifting, and gratifying practice that can actually be used year round. When you're feeling lonely and hurting, go to a nursing home and walk up and down the aisles. Walk up and down the hallways. And I know they're a little more strict right now with COVID. Put your mask on and go wish somebody happy Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving. If you have nothing to do, don't sit at the house alone. Another one that I think is really important before we take our second break. Try not to be perfect. Let me promise you. Here's a promise. Money back guarantee. Thanksgiving lunch or dinner or event or the day after or whatever you're planning with your family will not be perfect. One of the kids is going to spill the tea. One of the uncles or sons or daughters is going to drop the corn. Something's going to get overcooked or undercooked. Something's not going to be right. Perfection isn't reality. Don't strive for it. And when you realize you're not going to get there, and you need to understand, to try to remember that it's the being together with your family that makes all the difference, not the perfection of the pumpkin pie, not the perfection of how you cut the turkey. It's being together with family and understanding that that's what life is all about. That's what the world is all about. Not perfection. Family. And the last thing, we're going to take a break. So BBS, be ready for the second break. Always remember to breathe. When you feel stressed, step aside, excuse yourself, go to the restroom, and just take some deep breaths. Get it back under control. Don't let anxiety overtake you. Take some deep breaths and get everything, because I really believe this. I never used to, but I use it now. Deep breaths really, really help. Hope that helps you. Hope that's just a couple tips to be able to get you through this next week. As a matter of fact, the rest of the year with what the holidays have to come up. We'll be right back. 888-627-6008 for the final segment of Breaking the Silence. And you may want to grab a hold of it or grab your phone. And we're going to get into the Bible for a real quick lesson. Okay? Be right back.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Okay, welcome back. We do have a lot of comments on Facebook right now, some that are pretty raw, and I always appreciate raw and honesty, and so I'm not going to apologize then. I appreciate you reaching out and always giving your comments, and I just have a comment about the comments, okay? Let me tell you, you're exactly right when you say, there's no answer when a three-year-old is held down and raped. I know that. I was held down more than once by more than one, many times, dozens of times, week after week after week, for years, and raped. I know. But I also know, and I'm not, please don't take this as anything criticizing your comments. I thank you for your insight and your opinions. And they're justified. I would never say they're not. But if I hold on to that anger throughout my life, I'm letting them rape me emotionally every day of the rest of my life. So I had to choose the thought, and it's not easy. And I want to share this. It's not easy. And sometimes you think it's not possible to try to choose to forgive. And again, not for what they did, not for who they are, but because I needed the peace. I forgave my dad because I needed the peace. I wasn't going to allow him to control my mind years after he had died. Years after he hadn't touched me since I was 17 years old. So for 35, almost 40 years, I allowed him to still control me. And when I finally took the reins from him and took control of my own emotions and my own choosing and my own mentality, and let me tell you, I know you know because of what you're saying on Facebook, It's not easy, but it's not impossible. I had to do that for my own peace, my own well-being. If not, and I'm being serious, I wouldn't be alive. I would be dead. I would have jumped off that balcony right there because I couldn't handle it anymore. Why? Because I kept letting him live inside. And it was time that I stood up and said, enough. No more. No more. I'm taking my life back. And it was the best decision that I ever made. But thank you for your comments. And keep on commenting. I appreciate that. No matter how raw and how real, that's what we're all about. Breaking your own silence, my own silence is what it's all about. And everybody has their different ways of dealing with that. Now, I know some of you are religious. So I'm just going to pull out a scripture, a story out of a book that's true, and find some life lessons out of this in this last segment. And it goes like this. Let's pretend we just read this right out of the Houston Chronicle today. Okay? And they're talking about an event. It's found in Mark 4, starting with around verse 35. Don't let religion overshadow the lesson. Don't let your belief or your non-belief overshadow the lesson. So I'm not talking about religion here. I'm talking about a lesson we can get out of a story. On that day, when it got dark like now, when evening had come, this man called Jesus said, okay, let's all go across to the other side. Talking to his disciples, and they left the crowd because he just finished a conference with them, just finished the time talking to them. And they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was. And there were also other boats with them. And then at that time, a great windstorm arose, and the waves started breaking into the boat so hard that the boat was starting to fill up. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're dying in this boat and there's this big storm?" And he woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And immediately the wind stopped blowing and there was a great calm. And then Jesus turned and talked to the disciples and said this, "Why were you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and said to one another, the disciples, "Who then is this man that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, the way I like to read a good book is, how can I apply what I just read to my own life? If not, any book that I read, and I read a lot of books, I have a whole stand over there on my recliner, just stacks of books I read all the time. Quick read. And if I can't apply the good stuff, then what's the purpose of reading? Just for entertainment? Okay, sometimes reading is just for entertainment. But I like to get life lessons out of it. So what can I learn out of those 5, 6, 7 verses, at that little portion of the book? One, look at the story. They all get, all these innocent people get into a boat and are going to go across the waters. And a storm came up. Did you notice that a life lesson that I got out of this? That the storm in all of those innocent people's lives was not their fault. He said, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Now this man, Jesus, is all knowing. So he knew there was going to be a storm. And yet he said, come on guys, let's go. Often we are sent into storms of perfection, not correction. And it causes us to be better people. But I want you to know that storms are not always your fault. Number two, great storms can arise, come upon you like that. Beautiful day today. All of a sudden, I looked out the window and there's a big dark cloud and it started raining. It wasn't a big storm, but we were close enough to Galveston to understand that storms can come off that coast, out of that Gulf, so fast without warning. The Sea of Galilee was the same way. Often violent storms just came out instantaneously without any warning. I want to let you know that things may be going absolutely wonderful right now, but beware, a storm can come on real fast. And I'm getting notice from BBS that I've only got a couple minutes left, so I'm going to try to go through these fast. It doesn't happen because of your own fault, and sometimes storms can happen fast. Also, these great storms in life can be overwhelming, where we think we're just not going to live through it. A lot of my life was thinking, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to die. There's nothing worse that can happen to me. Just let me die. And it could be overwhelming. The boat in this story was starting to fill, was starting to sink. And when storms happen in your life, in my life, they sometimes appear to be more than we can bear. And you just can't bail water fast enough. And we feel hopeless coming on, which leads to the next point. Great storms frighten even the most experienced people. Jesus said to the disciples in the story, why are you afraid? Don't you have any faith? And he goes on to say, they were terrified. Absolutely, they were afraid. And they were experienced fishermen that had been on that sea during storms like this a lot. Likewise, we may be dealing with things in your life right now that you've never experienced before, and you don't think you have any control. But being afraid and fearful isn't wrong. It just needs where you put your faith at. And we'll let you know that Jesus is still in the boat, and he can calm any type of fear in your life. And also, real quick, because I know I got to go, all storms will pass. What you're going through right now, this too will pass, I promise. And there's always something better waiting you on the other side. I know we got kind of windy tonight, got kind of long, but I want to let you know that no matter what you're going through right now, no matter what you're experiencing, what you're going to go into tomorrow, what you're going to experience when you close your computer and turn off your phone tonight after the show, I want to promise you there's always hope. Always hope. Thank you for being with us tonight. Have an unbelievable Thanksgiving season. Try not to let stress overtake the joy that you ought to have being around that family circle, around that family table with your family. Love them, try to love them unconditionally this year and enjoy that time. Thank you for joining us. Join us right here next week, live from Houston, Texas, for another edition of Breaking the Silence. Have a great week. God bless. Happy Thanksgiving. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.